through them.
Mics are on. Call tonight's committee of the whole meeting to order. I am Alderman Marks from the Second Ward. It is my opportunity to run the meeting tonight. And it's a fairly small agenda, so.
Oh, jinx.
Let's note that everyone is here except for Alderman Dantino and Mayor Burns are not present tonight. First order is the consent agenda. And the only item on the consent agenda is approve the committee of the whole minutes from October 24th, 2011, and the special meeting from October 31st, 2011, and the committee of the whole meetings on November 14th, 2011.
Move approval.
Sam Alderman Hill was, and Ron Singer. I wasn't sure if it was which one it was. Any questions, comments, changes? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Alderman Marks votes aye. Any opposed? That item is taken care of. Item 4A, items of new business. Recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of the Pace Ride in Kane subsidy agreement for the fiscal year 2012-2013.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Maladra and Alderman Flanagan. Any comments, questions,
concern?
Yes, Alderman Singer.
I wonder if we could possibly have this statement resubmitted to us because there's a lot of typos in it. I had difficulty interpreting the document. For instance, in the fourth paragraph, the dash our drinking water treat and then the space men's plant.
Oh, we're still, Alderman Singer, we're still on the Pace Ride at this point. We haven't gotten that far yet. So
this is somewhat of a draft.
You're looking, I think, at the water and waste, the next item on the agenda.
Correct.
Yeah, well, we still haven't voted on the Pace Ride. We're not there yet. We're on item A still, not B.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, okay. I was trying to figure out what paragraph for, but okay.
Yes.
Any other questions, comments? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The revenues in this program continue to be below what is expected of these programs. We were going to reevaluate this at some point in the future, and at what point does that become a real problem?
A problem meaning I'm not following.
Meaning that it's not clear we should continue to support a program that falls below accepted revenue standards.
I think you're talking about the PACE bus revenue standard. This is different. This is for the Ride in Kane program.
Yeah, but I think the same standard sort of applies.
No.
This one certainly isn't. Well,
no,
to me it does logically. And, and you know, it is where the revenues are a very small fraction of the expenses. And
we pay a portion. This is an agreement that PACE will provide a subsidy to us. They're granting funds to us to share in the cost is what they're doing here so that we don't have to pick up as much of the cost. I think the report that you are referring to is the three regular bus routes that show that the ridership level is under the standards and doesn't typically meet, and those are the two, the one that goes through town and the two on Randall Road. I think maybe that's the one that you're referring to.
I'm just referring to the cost estimate worksheet, our package here for our local share agreement this year. And I'm just noticing that this program has this problem, that the revenues are way, way below the expenses, a very small fraction of the expenses. And does it still make sense to continue this or to be thinking about some other possible way to solve this problem?
Well, this replaced the Dial-A-Ride program, as you know, and this is the only program that is available for disabled and seniors who do not otherwise have rides to work, medical, or other types of assistance such as that. So it is entirely up to the council whether or not they want to spend tax dollars on this, but we are subsidized by PACE grant as well as some federal funds as a member and a sponsor of this program. We have about 300 folks enrolled in the program in total. We actually have about 30 of those people that regularly use the program. Alderman Singer may want to
this table doesn't speak to show it as the well. Per ride costs, unless I missed it, these programs of this particular program. Now, this bus, as I understand, one of the problems of the expense is that this is a handicapped accessible bus, et cetera. So.
Well, these rides could be buses, taxi cabs, or minivans. It's a combination of everything. So we did start out, you'll recall, several years ago when we switched from the Dial-A-Ride program to the Ride in Kane. We started out with the understanding that it would cost the city approximately $60,000, which we did allocate that amount. And we have reduced it each year, and we've reduced it down to about $30,000 at this point. And last year, I believe that we contributed somewhere around $25,000 or so to the program.
To be able to answer Alderman Brown's question about the, would you say the sense the per capita cost, those numbers certainly could be made available, and I think we can pursue that and bring that forward here to the council at some later date. And I think you'll probably find, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to speak or approach or have people approach you who are seniors who are so in need of this program. It's astonishing to me. I happen to serve on that committee. I am on the Ride in Kane committee. So I have contact with the committee people as well as with individuals who are being serviced by this program. And it is one that is so needful that if some people have come to me and have said, please, whatever you do, don't stop subsidizing us because we have no other means of transportation. We have no means of being able to get to the doctors, to the grocery stores, to the clinics for means of having dialysis and such. And the program is a 24/7 program, which is just absolutely marvelous. And it's a means whereby people have and are provided this kind of service, and I just don't know how they'd be able to get there if they didn't have it. They're elderly people, they're disabled, many of them, there is a need here, a tremendous need for them. That many of them are not in the position where they are able to drive at this point in time. They're physically disabled in that sense, and they're not, they probably don't even have driver's licenses. Many of them don't even have vehicles at this point in time because of their physical conditions. And two, it isn't servicing those that are in need, as I just explained to you, but there are a great number of people who need this service to get to work. And if they didn't have this service, I don't know how they'd be able to provide for themselves monetarily. So it may sound to some of us as somewhat of an extreme cost in the overall picture, but when it really gets down to it, it's a tremendous service to the community, and I just hope that you'll continue to support it. Thank you.
My question, if I may address it to Alderman Singer, is I agree with the need. There's no question. But it's hard for us to evaluate whether this is the right way to satisfy the need if we can't somehow see in here a per-cost trip or something so we could evaluate ourselves whether there might be a better way to solve the problem and satisfy the need. The numbers we get seem to be don't exactly address the question of what are we being charged here per trip, et cetera.
Well, let me
maybe
say
by next week we can get an addition to this.
I
packet item?
I have in the past provided those numbers to the council, and I'm happy to do that again. My suggestion would be if at the time of budget, when we enter into budget development, that is the point in time for us to tell Pace, Wright, and Kane that we're not going to participate. Once we've committed to doing that, which we already have, this is an agreement to say, yes, we will accept the $10,000 Pace that you want to give us, is what this is doing. So my suggestion is that if you, based on the numbers that I've provided and will provide to you again on the per capita cost or the per participant cost, if you will, if you choose to go in a different policy direction, that's fine, but we're in the middle of a budget year where this has already been committed to, if you will. So
I understand that, but it's not clear exactly here what this is an ordinance to commit us to paying some money, and it's not exactly clear how much we're being committed to pay here and how much per ride that is.
Actually, this is an agreement saying that we will accept money from them. This is not our commitment is in our budget, which is $30,000. This is an agreement saying we will accept the $10,000 from you, Pace.
And at budget time, we'll get a more clear.
Well, I'd be happy to provide it before then.
This agreement that we will accept the money is from when to when? What period of time does this cover?
It's for the next. They're on a calendar year.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't match with our fiscal
correct.
Year. Just to confuse the issue.
Okay. Correct.
No wonder I was confused. Thank you. I will vote for this.
Thank you for that. I think what we all have to realize too is that, of course, this is in the sense what we're doing here is we're subsidizing the needs of these individuals who need this form of transportation. And all of us here are being subsidized in some means and ways. Every time you purchase vehicle, your motor fuel for your vehicle, gasoline or what have you, you're providing a subsidy which is being now used to use for the surfaces of your roadways and your improvement of your highways as such. So you're being subsidized in that way as well. So I don't see why we shouldn't in some way continue to support this program. So I certainly hope that the numbers that will be provided to you in the near future will be such that you'll be pleased with. And I believe, I don't remember, Mary, if we ever expended the total amount that we were budgeted for. I think it's always been less than what.
It has, and it's been reduced each budget for at least the last 3 years.
Yes,
every
that's
year.
What I thought. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, comments? Great. Alderman Malata, sorry.
I don't know if this is what Alderman Brown was looking for, but in a packet from 2010, there was a presentation on Ride and Kane, and the cost per ride was listed at $16.97.
Alderman Flanagan.
Did that include the taxi services, et cetera? Does it say, state that? Yeah.
Well, it's like
that
was
so it was just the average of all of the transportation provided, right?
Yeah, it was all the average.
Thank you.
Well, that organization really was.
Any other comments, questions? Any from the audience? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4B. It's a recommended acceptance of water and wastewater rate structure task force report. Your motion.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Vogelberg. Seconded by Alderman Singer. Greg. Alderman Maladra.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just begin by recognizing the first reminding the committee that Mayor Burns established this task force. I can't remember exactly when, but the purpose was for a group of Geneva residents and council members to examine the existing water and sewer rate structure, study its sufficiency or adequacy for meeting the needs that we face today, and to bring to the committee recommendations on how to move forward. We have a report tonight that we will present, but before we get to that, I wanted to take a minute to recognize the task force members, if I could. From the Committee of the Whole or the City Council, we had Alderman Brown, Alderman Marks, and myself. And from the community, we had Steve Anderson, Mike Fair, Gary Mead, who I don't see, Joe Stanton, and I'd also like to recognize Chuck Carroll and Tim Fallon. They both volunteered. Their schedules didn't cooperate, though. However, in spite of that, they still provided a good amount of input that was part of all of our discussions. And so tonight, to deliver our report to the committee, we have Joe Stanton.
Thank you. I know everyone has a copy of this in their packet, but for the benefit of everyone watching, I'd like to read it with your permission. Mayor Burns established a water and wastewater task force to investigate the current structure and level of Geneva's water and sewer rates and to assess the suitability of alternative rate structures for meeting long-term obligations of utilities. Having met regularly since September 28th, we conclude that Geneva has a well-run water utility and a financially sound water fund. The budget is balanced and reserves are approaching levels specified by city policy. That said, we recognize that the current pricing model is inadequate. The base rate component of the model was established as part of a rate study done in 1985 and covers only the cost of the meter reading and replacement. At $1.39 per meter, Geneva's base rate is among the lowest in the area. In the 26 years since that study, many factors have changed. Construction of a state-of-the-art drinking water treatment plant, expansion of the wastewater treatment plant, declining growth as the city nears build-out, and improved public conservation. Throughout all this change, we have held the base rate flat. The result is an increasingly volatile revenue stream, offset by more frequent adjustments to the overall rate. Attempts to minimize rate increases have resulted in staff reduction and deferred capital investment. We feel that were this pattern to continue, the financial health of our water utility and its infrastructure will be weakened. We feel that a newer modified model is needed, a model that will encourage conservation without impeding industrial development and also reduce the volatility of overall rates, lending stability as the effectiveness of conservation measures continue to improve. The Water and Wastewater Task Force appreciates the foresight of Mayor Burns in providing the opportunity for members of the community, council, and staff to re-examine this enterprise fund. Having done so, the task force recommends that the city staff prepare a request for qualifications and proceed with the selection process to engage a consulting expertise for a comprehensive rate study or study structure, which will serve as the foundation for the new model in the same way the 1985 study formed the basis of rate decisions to date. Our chairman, Dan, and Bob and myself are available for questions if you have any.
Question?
I appreciate the report and the work that the committee's put into it. I'm just wondering, whose draft is this? And is this have the unanimous support of the task force? Is there any dissenting opinions as it relates to this recommendation?
The vast majority. I think the only differences among the members of this task force is what to do with the base rate, how to adjust it. I think the vast majority of us feel that the base rate is inadequate. We're one of the lowest ones in the area, in some cases by fivefold. There are some I believe are up to maybe $10 in base pay. Every member of the task force spent a lot of time reading the information we were given. We did a lot of homework. We're looking at this as the amount people pay. If there was the 5% increase that's been proposed, if we went with a higher base but lower consumption charge, the amount the majority of people pay will stay the same. We're just looking to take some of the volatility away from it by having a higher base. the vast majority, if not all of us, agree that that's something that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. The only differences we have are where to put that new base rate at. And should that base rate include X amount of water included in the base pay, or should the base pay just be for the right to have water to your home, and then you start doing a user charge as you turn on your faucets. So there's opinions all over the board on where we should set it, but, you know, we've agreed as a task force that it needs to be increased. The reason for the, you know, rate study is, and there was some discussion on whether or not we needed the rate study to establish this amount. You know, not everybody has a reverse osmosis plant. A lot of people are challenged with the same problem that we have right now, and we want to see what they're doing about it. I don't necessarily think there's a particular model out there that we would want to copy, but you can't pick up the newspaper without seeing, you know, Aurora or Chicago, you know, raising rates by, you know, $10 a person in the base pay. So we're trying, with the rate study, we're going to see where they got these figures from, where communities that have the same type of plants that we have. We're trying to look at what some of the capital expenditure costs and their replacement costs and repair costs are, and we'd have a better idea of where to base that base rate at.
Now the task force meetings were open to the public, correct?
Yes, they were.
They were posted on our website. So obviously this did stir some controversy in the community several months ago, and I guess that this was a forum for anyone that really had a difference of opinion or had some strong opinions as it relates to this this issue, an opportunity to be heard, and obviously an audience that was very interested in the opinion of the public. So I guess I appreciate the forum that you've created and the opportunity that that you've presented to the community to sound off on this. So thank you.
Alderman Melander.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that your question was this the unanimous position of the committee? I think that on broad issues, we had unanimity. Where we had disagreement was in the degree with which we needed to make adjustments. So, for example, with the base rate, as Joe said, everyone on the task force felt that we need to do something about the base rate. There was a lot of discussion about where to set that base rate, and that's how we moved towards bringing in some consulting expertise to help us with decisions of that nature. Everything in the report that was presented to you was agreed to by every member of that task force.
Obviously, we have some committee members that took the time. I'm sorry.
No.
Alderman,
no, it's
obviously
okay.
There are some other members of the committee that have taken the time to join us this evening. If there's anything that they'd like to share, I'd be certainly interested in what they might have to impart.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Just as you come up, if you could give your name and your address, please. So,
Steve Anderson, 521 West Lane, Geneva. It was a very good experience, first off. There was a lot of dialogue, in particular about the base rate, as Craig and Joe both said. But I think the thing that I kept hearing over and over again was the need to make sure that this thing was sustainable and sound. And I don't mean sustainable in a green way. I mean in a financial way. The way that I had expressed it was, you know what it costs to provide the water. You know the cost of the building, the debt service. We hopefully know what we anticipate in the future we're going to need to continue to maintain, build out, et cetera. And we know how many users we have. Solve for X. That's your rate. Now, whether that gets included in your base rate or whether that's a part of the overall per gallon rate, that's where the debate really kicked in. But I didn't see anyone disagreeing on the fundamental concept that we need to price this according to what it takes to sustain our system going forward. We can't count on growth. We can't count on impact fees. It has to work basically the way it is right now. And that's solving for X, or what I call solving for X. And then where I think the debate got most interesting was about whether or not we place it in demand or we place it on the per gallon rate. And just to tell you my opinion, because you've asked for opinions, in that, the way I tend to think about it and continue to think about it is that when you turn on the faucet, you expect water to flow out of it. And we got about 8,000 homes or users that do that. There is a set amount, whether anybody ever turns on that faucet or not, that we as a community and those 8,000 users have to pay, whether we ever turn that faucet or not. That should be, in my mind, the base rate. Now, that will cause the base rate to dramatically go up, but it will also cause the per gallon rate to dramatically go down. So as Joe pointed out, it kind of levels out for most people. So that's kind of the way I see it, is that you do that, then the volatility and the rates goes down because you're only paying, you know, if you use less, we actually incur less because the per gallon charge relates only to the costs of producing the water as opposed to the fixed costs. So that's one side of it. There were others, but that was mine. So you asked, so I answered.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the committee wish to?
Jerry, we're all talking. Sorry, Mike Fair, 842 Sterling Avenue. I think the other thing that is important, I agree with what everybody said to this point, is that our water usage rates here in Geneva are very median with respect to everybody else in the community. So except for probably the neighbors to St. Charles who pay a lot less than we do currently, everybody else, we're right in the middle. So we get a great deal on water, maybe too good of a deal on water, frankly, given the quality of the water that we actually get from the system. So we want to make sure that quality of water stays where it is. We want to make sure that the capital investment, all the infrastructure that's underneath our feet stays where it's supposed to. It was above the expertise of this committee to say how much should be in a base rate. We really weren't tasked with that, and we could have fought for hours and weeks, and we'd have still been fighting about where it should be. Some experts should take that into account, give us some models, and then we can kind of look at where it's supposed to go. So that's all.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer, I believe you had your hand.
Yes, thank you. You know, I'm very impressed with the direction that the committee has taken here on this issue. And am I correct in assuming that you have developed a sense of a direction that you are going to expect the request for qualifications, whomever those individuals are or those quality people that we will be hiring as consultants to look into the program as such to, in a sense, grasp what you are presenting to us and come forward with a direction that they feel that we all will be comfortable with? Is that a correct summation of?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great. I'm pleased with that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Alderman Brown, 607 West Lane, and I mention that because I'm a neighbor of Steve and still good friends, and we probably disagreed as much as any committee.
I think we have a counterpoint.
And I think it was summarized correctly by saying the committee had very interesting dialogue on this issue and other issues as well. The input from the civilian members, our residents, was wonderful and very useful. And I think at this point, Alderman Baladra should be commended. This was somewhat akin to herding cats, and I was one of the loudest cats. And he pulled it off amazingly well and came up with a report that, yes, we all agree with. The discussion about the base rates is a very interesting discussion. Geneva has rates which are favorable to the elderly, favorable to the one- and two-person households, favorable to small businesses that may only have a sink and one small john in the back of their business, because we put most of the needed funds onto the rate per gallon and not onto the base rate. If you start trying to increase the base rate, of course, you're increasing the amount that the small users have to pay relative to the large users. So the large users win and the small users lose in some sense. But it's also true that the small users, the worth of their house, et cetera, has gone up because they are now connected to one of the best water supplies in the western suburb, if not the best. And so that was a very interesting discussion. The resident members of the committee contributed. We all contributed. And as I say, I was certainly one of the louder cats in the discussion. But Alderman Maladra managed in the end to get us to come to an agreement that, yes, clearly we should get, it's time for a rate study. It's been 20 some odd years. And that this is going to be an issue that we're going to ask the rate study people to talk us through. We're going to have to. It's a complicated issue. It involves more than just simple workout X. X only comes out when you've decided what all the other variables in the equation are. We did this statement that was made tonight, we all agree with, no question. The differences are on exactly how we're going to get to this, and indeed that's why we recommend we need a rate study. And again, if it wasn't for Alderman Maladra, it's not clear that we would have in this small amount of time reached this collision to this conclusion. So I fully support this, accepting this report tonight, even though I was probably one of the louder dissents from a few of the topics that were discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to add one point of clarification for those in the audience. You may have heard that we have not done a rate study in the last 26 years, but you may be thinking about the past year when there was considerable discussion about an increase in rates, and we did have an engineering company in. We've done that a couple of times over the last few years. Those were updates to the 1985 study. We have not had a full comprehensive study since 1985, so I just wanted to clarify in case anyone was out there wondering.
Yeah, the right way to say that is that all of the rate corrections that we have made since 1985 were all based on the same basic assumptions that were made in 85 by the rate study. So the basic assumptions held, although we've had to actually adjust the rate over the years because of many factors, bonds, inflation, et cetera. But there has been no change in the basic underlying assumptions, and one of the basic underlying assumptions, again, is the question of how much you put in the base and how much you put in the per gallon. Issues of conservation come in. Clearly, putting the funds you need to raise into the per gallon charge encourages conservation, and it helps, as I say, small businesses and small homes. So it's a very complicated issue. We clearly have to continue to adjust rates as inflation and other factors, but the question is, should we adjust the basic underlying assumptions? And this committee has recommended that a full rate study will address the issue of whether the underlying assumptions all these years that we've been going on should be adjusted. And I fully believe they will come back with a recommendation that, yes, we need an adjustment. Thank you.
Any other comments? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to everybody who was on the committee. Kudos to Alderman Maladra for herding the cattle or cats. Cats. So my question is, do we know what the 1985 rate study cost us? To bring up bad news or? Have no idea.
And whether that's relevant to
and whether it's relevant to this time and age, this day and age, I don't know either. So I just wanted to.
You know, Alderman Maladra, you might have some insight into that.
I don't know what the cost was, but I think it's safe to say to put it in a ballpark called somewhat expensive.
I would ask
instead, have we made any decisions based on that study in the last 25 years? I think the answer is yes. So, again, in terms of value, we will get our value out of this study. It will be the foundation for decisions we make for another two decades at least.
So that's the ROI?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? All those in favor of accepting the report, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. I'd also like to mention, Craig, if I could, that Dan Dingenson, Bob Van Gascombe, and Mary McKittrick spent some long evenings with us also going through all of that.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
The staff was there, and they were helping us through it. So, next item on the agenda, new business. Any new business from the audience?
Share that anyone that still has their Sunday Chicago Tribune in the business section, has an excellent article on the coal is getting cleaner, but consumers will foot the bill. And it does an excellent job of explaining Prairie State's and Geneva's investment in this this energy facility that that we're a part of in southern Illinois. If you want to gather or gain a better understanding of the objectives and Geneva's role as a part of this this facility, I would highly recommend taking a few minutes, digging it out of the newspaper bin and reading it.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else on the dais? Mary, I think you have.
I just wanted to remind everybody about the Christmas walk this weekend and encourage everyone to not only get out and participate, but to invite friends and relatives to join you. Thank you.
Fine.
Hope the weatherman cooperates, right?
He will.
Good.
Any other new business?
I ask.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to ask the city administrator. We hear today that we've had a spectacular Digital Monday, or whatever they call it, Online Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. How exactly does the city benefit in that?
It depends.
I knew that was the answer. Can you explain to the folks at home?
Right now, there is case law in place that actually applies to catalog sales, telephone sales from years gone by. That has been the law that has been applicable to online sales as opposed to brick and mortar. Some retailers collect the tax and pay the taxes, the sales taxes. Some do not. Several years ago, when there was not only talk of federal legislation, but also of retroactively collecting taxes, some of the larger retailers such as JCPenney and Sears, so on and so forth, actually started collecting. And if you buy online from those larger retailers, those national retailers, you will see that they do, in fact, collect taxes and then distribute pay those to the states, and then that gets distributed.
It gets distributed by population, right?
Yes, it gets paid to the state, and then the state distributes. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't get distributed by population. It's a sales tax, just like if it were collected in the store. So it's supposed to go back to the community if there is a nexus for that store in the community.
Similar to a catalog.
Similar to a catalog sale, exactly. But many, many of the retailers online do not collect retail sales taxes. There is legislation being discussed right now at the federal level to enact legislation that would mandate that all retailers collect it online, pay it to the state, and then it would get distributed back, theoretically.
So what you're saying is if I buy online from a big box store, which does not happen to have a location in Geneva, we will not get the sales tax?
Typically, they have based their payment on that store having a nexus, just like the catalog and the telephone sales, same thing. So, yes, if you buy from a store and they pay their sales taxes, to the state, then it would not come back here to Geneva unless that store had a nexus in Geneva, if they collected at all. And as I said, I believe that the majority do not collect. It's the larger ones that have started within the last few years. But I believe that, and there has been, and I've reported to the council in the past about the sales tax project that has been going on for probably about 10 years now, trying to find some common ground on national sales taxes for online sales. Some states do not collect sales taxes at all, so that's been problematic for all of the states working together. But I do believe that in the near future we will see something coming from the feds on this that will require or at least give states the authority to require that those sales taxes be collected online as well, because there is some activity going on within just the last few weeks.
This is something that we should think of as affecting the long-term outlook for Geneva, because we certainly don't have and don't plan on having a majority of the big boxes within our town. And to the extent that more and more sales become online, sales tax, which is our biggest single source of revenue, local sales tax will presumably go down slightly, and that's going to affect our long-term financial planning. And I think we're going to have to take that into account and ask our politicians in Springfield and Washington to think about the effect it has on small towns that do not happen to have within their boundaries the national merchandisers, which are beginning to dominate the this market.
And I will tell you, this has been an issue for Metro West since their inception, just a few years ago when they were created. Online sales tax has been up front and center, and they have advocated just for that. The state Chamber of Commerce was represented at one of Metro West's meetings a couple of years ago and had this very discussion, and Metro West made it very clear that we were advocating for the brick-and-mortar locations, because you're exactly right. They are losing out because of that, because of not the online sales not collecting.
Our streets still have to take the traffic of FedEx trucks, et cetera, that bring these items to your home.
Right.
It's an interesting question as to exactly how you balance this. Certainly with modern computer systems, you could credit the sales tax to the exact taxing district. It would not be a problem for modern computer systems to do. It's just clearly something that requires a little bit of effort and a little bit of investment, which the big firms certainly don't want to do unless forced to.
We do have the use tax as well, where the buyer is obligated to pay that tax if it's not collected. But as you can tell from looking at the use tax that we receive, that's not a very popular activity amongst purchasers.
Just a warning for where we're going on this. And it's an interesting question. I think it's good for the country that we've had this increase in a wonderful Cyber Monday, but it certainly doesn't bode necessarily well for a city like Geneva. Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
I have a question. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, is Metro West or some other organization watching this national legislation so that if they send sales tax dollars to the states, that the states will return them to the communities where there is a nexus of these businesses, so that we don't lose out like we've lost out on some of these more recent decisions at the state level?
It wouldn't. I don't believe it would be the federal government collecting it.
Okay.
It would be more or less the federal at the federal level them mandating that the states or enabling the states to enact legislation that would mandate it.
Okay.
Because, as I said, there are some states that do not collect any sales taxes at all.
So if a business that is selling over the Internet is in one of those states and there's no sales tax collected, there's no money sent back to the rest of the states in the country.
They have a nexus somewhere else.
They don't have a nexus somewhere else. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Right. And that's why the federal government is looking at it now. So hopefully they will come up with something that's equitable for all the states and give the states the ability to enact that. Because the more that those funds that should be paid are distributed back to the local governments, that relieves pressure on local property taxes as well.
What concerns me is that the national legislators might not understand that, and we know the Illinois legislators don't. That's a real concern. Thank you.
We'll keep an eye on it.
I'm sure you will. Thank you very much.
Any other new business? Motion for adjournment?
Second.
So moved.
Second.
Singer and Hill. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned.